delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Welcome back to it. It is a Wednesday. The hotline number, 888-900-9966. This part of the program brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to businesses across Michigan. DTE Energy, know your own power. Back to the conversation about the proposed budget from the president, President Trump's budget. We just had the doctor weigh in, and now we're going to move to George Landreth, president of Frontiers of Freedom, to discuss free markets, free enterprise, limited government, and the proposed budget. George, welcome to the program.
Steve, it's great to be with you.
So, all right, good budget, bad budget, goes too far, doesn't go far enough. Where do you start?
I look at it and I say that it's a good start. The problem with the budget that involves, hundreds of billions of dollars is you can always find something to disagree with. That's just human nature. There's no way to avoid that reality. But in the big picture, I think it's a good budget. And one of the problems, of course, you have you have some people who will say, and their argument is, well, don't cut that because it's small. It doesn't really make a difference. And then as they defend each thing, then they move to the bigger things, and then they say, well, that's big and you can't cut that. So basically what they're arguing is you can't cut anything.
Of course.
So I don't think it's a defense to say that's not that big, therefore don't cut it.
Right. It's been a couple of weeks now.
You cut it.
It's been a couple of weeks now since the America First, a budget blueprint to make America great again, was released. That happened on the 16th of March. Now, my previous guest here, I want to share with you, George, said that the blueprint just continues to perpetuate the welfare state in America, and that entitlements and so forth aren't touched at all by this budget. So therefore, it sends America on a path to be $30 trillion in debt. Now, I find some good things in here where there are reductions in spending. And I also read that during his first 2 months in office, the actual debt, the American debt, had been reduced by $100 billion because of different things that were happening inside the Trump administration. So it's already heading in the right direction, first time in a long time. Certainly $100 billion is not enough to correct the problem we have, but do you see a perpetuation of the welfare state?
Well, I think that's correct. I mean, the budget, by its very own terms, it's not as if this is between the lines. It doesn't touch the entitlement programs that exist, and ultimately that will have to be tackled. I would argue that in the first year of his presidency, or certainly first 2 years of his presidency, however, if he's able to get this budget through, repeal Obamacare, and do significant tax reform, that's huge, and then he can maybe get to this. At that point, he will have built up enough credibility with all the various political, in other words, he will develop political capital that I think he can start to tackle the very difficult question of the entitlement. So that is absolutely the biggest problem we face. That's the biggest, from a budgetary perspective, it's the biggest challenge in terms of our financial health.
Yeah, I believe that. And the headlines now are that the American Health Care Act will be back on the table, that they're moving back in that direction. So
understood.
That is a big deal.
This president, one thing that I think he'll be a little atypical in that the art of the deal, kind of the idea of he's always negotiating. And so it's never actually over.
And I think that's why they pulled the bill.
That doesn't mean that we're not continuing to work on the problem. It just means we haven't found the right balance yet.
Haven't found the right path through.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, I think you're right. They haven't found the right path through. And I believe that's right, George. The point is that it was not a failure because it was not a vote. It was a disappointment, but it wasn't the catastrophic failure the left would have you believe, that Chuck Schumer would have you believe, and Chuck Schumer saying, hey, we're welcome to working with the president as long as he does exactly what we want. Typical.
Typical Schumer. I agree. I mean, these are individuals who are absolutely committed to him being a failure as a president. They talk openly before he was inaugurated about impeaching him. This wasn't like kook talk on the blogosphere.
Well, wait, hold on.
Elected officials.
You said it wasn't kook talk. It was Maxine Waters, wasn't it?
Well, no, what I mean is, they always like to, you're right, she's a kook, no doubt. What I mean by that is elected officials. I always find it annoying when someone tells me the right is doing blah, 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 blah. and then they find some blogosphere somewhere that somebody who nobody knows who he is saying something that's a little outlandish, and then
exactly.
we're all supposed to be held responsible for that.
Yeah.
But when they do it, they always say, oh, well, that's just Maxine Waters. It's like, she's an elected official.
Yeah,
she's been elected for my entire lifetime.
She's been there for like 13 terms.
So what I mean by that is that most of the left are kooks. But what I mean is these are people who actually have been hold official titles, and these are people that we can actually say, you, the left, you are responsible for the crazy talk coming from these people. This isn't just some college freshman in his dorm room who had too much to drink last night spouting off.
Yeah, we're exactly right. It's not just some unknown blogger in the middle of Louisiana. Oh, look, this guy's got 3 followers, but do you see what he said here? And you're exactly right about the way these things get covered, as if David Duke is some sort of a news item in 2017. Please.
Yeah.
David Duke hasn't been relevant since, well, in the news cycles for 30 years. But they dredge that stuff up. You're exactly right. Meanwhile,
that's my point. And so there's this, and that's part of the, I don't call it media bias, because bias is subtle. You know, the Nazis were not biased against Jews.
No,
they
weren't
subtle.
The
mainstream media is biased against conservatives.
I think that's a really good point you make. And about as subtle as the Nazis and the question of the Jewish people. Exactly right. So, all right. So from here, then, as you say, it's a pretty good start. And I happen to agree with you, because I don't think you can tackle it all at once. I mean, you're getting all this noise by cutting back the EPA and cutting back Housing and Urban Development and Health and Human Services. You're getting a lot of noise, obviously, from the left, and people screaming like smashed cats over that. You can't go after entitlements at the same time, is my belief.
And we're talking
one
about
step
budget
at a time.
Cuts that, in some agencies, it varies, but overall, we're talking like about a 1 or 2% budget cut, and they're acting as if the world is going to end tomorrow. And it's just, you know, with that attitude, we'll never solve the budget problems. You look at this, and I see this not just as a, you know, like I'm some mean conservative. I actually look at this from I'll tell you, a fairly self-interested perspective. I have 7 children, and at the birth of each of those children, I remember the doctor or the nurse handing me that little bundle and a blanket. And I look, and looking into their face and eyes, and having a flood of hopes and dreams and aspirations come over me for that child. And never once was that hope or that dream or that aspiration for that child that the government would provide them with a slightly more generous package of goodies than the year before.
Yeah, I have no use
always,
in that.
And people have to understand, when the budget gets bigger, it means your pocketbook is smaller, and that means there's less money for you to send your kids to scout camp.
That's
or for
right.
piano lessons.
And everybody
or
should
for
know.
Dancing.
Everybody should
you know
dance
that lessons.
The
and,
capital.
And I think we have to understand that there's a finite amount of good that can be done, and government always believes it can do good with the money. They've never argued, if you give us this money, we'll do something bad with it. They always tell you they'll do something good with it. What they don't tell you is what will not be done that's good. Because they wanted to do the thing.
Right, because they took the capital.
They think they can spend our money better than we can. And you know what? They cannot.
That's correct. George, we've got to leave it there, but you're exactly right, because the government, capital in the hands of government is infinitely less efficient than capital in the hands of private citizens. That's been proven time and again over millennia. George Landreth, greatly appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely. Great to be with you.
President, Frontiers of Freedom, there's George Landreth here. You're listening to the Steve Gruber Show, brought to you in part by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. Be safe from radon, the number 2 cause of lung cancer. Get your home tested today for radon gas. Radon at Michigan.gov, radon at Michigan.gov, or call 800-RADON-GAS. I did it. I'm going to share the results with you here on the program quite soon. You're listening to the Steve Gruber Show.